Father, we thank you. We thank you as we gather in your house through this morning. We thank you for the word that you have for us. We thank you for the music that you have for us. We thank you for the fellowship that you have for us. We thank you for the answered prayers that we see in every life in this congregation, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We see your hand move mighty in people's lives. We thank you, Lord, for bringing healing, for bringing restoration, for bringing faith. We thank you, Lord, for bringing provision into every life into this house, Lord. And we just thank you. Yes, Lord. We just gathered our hearts together in just a moment, and we lift up Harry and Marie to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that Marie is okay. Marie is healed. Marie is healthy and whole. And we thank you, Lord, that if these doctors are going to do tests, they're going to find something. They're going to find something. And by that, I mean they're going to find something that will astound them. Absolutely. Yeah. They will find a miracle. And we thank you, Lord, that Harry, for just upholding him and for giving him strength and determination and perseverance. And most of all, that it's just going to bring another witness of your glory and your might and your majesty into the lives of these two wonderful people. And we thank you. Yeah, absolutely. We thank you for Harry's faithfulness and Marie's. Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Hallelujah. Wednesday night, I was teaching on, does anybody remember what I was teaching on? Guilt. Okay, well, there's no guilt. Okay, there's no guilt here because you didn't remember, okay? And I was saying that there are two kinds of guilt. Real guilt, which of course comes by conviction by the Holy Spirit, and then false guilt. False guilt, which comes by the lies of the devil, comes by the systems of man. Now, at 5:27 a.m. this morning, I received a clear and direct instruction from the Lord that I was to revisit a couple little aspects of this thing for the benefit of people who perhaps may not have heard it. This is something that every person in this church needs to hear. Every Christian needs to hear. Well, praise God. See, guilt is, not to be confused with conviction, which comes by the Holy Spirit, guilt is a tool of the devil and it's a tool of man. Revelation 12:10 tells us that the devil accuses the children of God night and day, nonstop. If they, me. You know, and anybody can bring an accusation. An accusation doesn't have to be a truth. It just has to be an accusation. Man uses guilt for purposes of manipulation. It's one of the greatest tools that there is for one man to try to manipulate another. Is by guilt, by trying to bring guilt into the situation. Don't you feel guilty because. You should feel guilty because. Shame on you. Guilt is what makes a lot of advertising work. Guilt because you're not good enough, fast enough, you don't smell sweet enough, whatever it may be. Guilt. You know, the psychologists tell us that 85% of the people in this country are walking around under condemnation of guilt of one kind or another. I know a lady who has been living for better than 20 years under guilt and condemnation because some priest told her she was under judgment and condemnation for something that's not even in here. But she bought it, and she's been walking around with that lie for all these years. Amen. See, when you've been made free, you're free indeed. Once you've received that revelation from the Holy Spirit that brings you freedom, you're free indeed. And nothing can take it back. Once you've got that truth of the word in your heart, you're free indeed. Amen. Amen. Now, Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now, okay, when is this? Now. Let's say now again. Now. You can't say now yesterday, can you, Kemp? You can't say now tomorrow, can you? Now is right now, this moment, this point in time. There is now no condemnation. There is no act of declaring someone guilty or a judgment unto death. There is now, right here, at this moment, no judgment unto death or act of declaring someone guilty to those that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. That are in what? Are in Christ Jesus. Now, if you're operating in the systems of the world, you're operating in the methods and systems of the devil, that's one thing. Come back and out of the First National Bank with a bag of cash in your hand that's not yours, you're guilty. Okay, that's different. There is now for no condemnation. See, Paul is describing one of the primary characteristics of true Christians. True Christians, they're justified. They're declared righteous. And therefore, they stand in God's grace. Hallelujah. Amen. But, you know, the devil and man, they waste their time accusing anyway. The devil's a thief, and he wants to take from you everything that you have. And when it comes to guilt, there's five things that he wants to take from you. He wants to take your fellowship with God. He wants to take your faith. He wants to take your prayer life. He wants to take your desire for God's word. And he wants to take your witness. And he wants to use guilt to steal those five things from you. Now, I want you to stop what you're doing. Whatever it is you're doing, stop, listen, and get this. You are only guilty when the Holy Spirit says you are guilty. Just because you feel guilty does not make you guilty. Get that part as well. Just because you feel guilty, that does not make you guilty. Just because some man, some ritual, some tradition says that you're guilty does not mean that you're guilty. The Word of God says. The Holy Spirit, by bringing conviction, will tell us if we're guilty or something. Now, just because you feel guilty and you don't know why, doesn't make you guilty. See, that's one of the lies of the devil. When the devil brings accusations, many times it's in a very shade of gray kind of area. You just feel just like something's not right. You just feel dirty or guilty about something, but you don't know why. There's lies and accusations going on there. Just because it seems like you're on a treadmill and you run and you run and you run and you run, and you can never get anywhere, you never seem to make any progress or get caught up, it doesn't make you guilty. Just because you have been perhaps abused in some way, physically, emotionally, spiritually, psychologically, sexually, that doesn't make you guilty. Just because the abuser said you were guilty, it doesn't make you guilty. What does the defense attorney try to do in a rape trial? He tries to make the victim guilty. Well, you were dressed in such and such a way, you did something, you said something, so it's your fault you got raped, you're guilty. And that's exactly what the devil wants to do. But that doesn't make you guilty. The Word of God doesn't say you were guilty. If you're working and striving to earn enough brownie points, if you're just working your behind off to get enough ahead, to gain enough brownie points so you can get over some guilty feeling for some reason, you need to get off that merry-go-round right now because it takes you nowhere. You're guilty only if and when the Holy Spirit says so. And when He says so, it's not going to be vague and it's not going to be misleading. You see, when the devil brings accusations and lies, it's usually murky and muddy. It's not clear. But when the Holy Spirit comes to you and says, you've got this going on, it's going to be clear, it'll be precise, and He'll tell you exactly what you need to do about it. And that is, repent and ask forgiveness. And the other half of that equation is repent, ask for, and receive forgiveness. You can ask for forgiveness all day long, but until you receive it, it's not really yours. When the devil accuses, there's hope, no hope. There's no escape offered unless it's something that would just bring more bondage and servitude. That's the equivalent of borrowing money to pay off a loan. It just doesn't work. God's way is forgiveness. So if you're carrying guilt this morning, now's the time. There's freedom in this service this morning. If you're dealing with guilt in some area of your life, for whatever reason it may be, now's the time in this service to receive freedom. Doesn't mean you have to get up and come to the altar. Doesn't mean you have to do anything except repent, ask forgiveness, and receive it. And understand this clear distinction between the lies of the enemy and the freedom that comes from the truth of God's Word. Amen? Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, the thing is, when God comes to us and we feel conviction, that's not guilt. That's His loving hand moving us to a place where we need to make a change, and He helps us and points us the direction of the change. That goes away. That conviction goes away when we do what God asks us to do. But guilt and condemnation that Bob's talking about from the world and from the enemy, that never goes away unless you get free in Jesus. Amen? It's always there. It'll always plague you. You need to be free in Jesus. Amen? That's the answer. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Jesus suffered and died so we wouldn't have to suffer. He took our place. And that's why we as children are safe in His arms, because it's already gone. It's already dealt with. It's just a question or a matter of us laying it down, saying, Lord, here it is. Here it is. And then giving Him thanks, saying, Lord, I thank You that You paid for this, and that it's not mine anymore. I give it to You because You have done away with it. You have taken it and made it as though it didn't exist. It's finished. I'm free. I'm whole. I'm guiltless. I am not under condemnation anymore. Hallelujah. And then rejoice, knowing that it's completely over with, never again to rise. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Because there's none like Him. Amen? Praise You.
Like You.
Hallelujah.
Praise You, Jesus. Lord, You are awesome in this place. In this edifice, this building, but in this place, Lord, the temple of God. You are so awesome. Oh, we lift our hands to You, Lord. We give You praise. We worship You. We thank You, Lord. You who are the author and finisher of our faith, Lord. You who's given us the ability and the understanding by Your word and by Your presence and by fellowship with You to know how to live and how to be victorious, to be more than conquerors. You've made us more than conquerors. We are the victorious, not the victim. We thank You for that, Lord, this morning. Now, Lord, as we enter into the time where Your word comes forth, Lord, we pray that it's Your word that's heard, Your word that's preached, Lord. I hide myself behind the cross, Lord. It's You I want glorified. It's You that I want all eyes on. So, Holy Spirit, we thank You again that You're in control. We've given it to You, and that our Father's will is accomplished in this house today. We speak it by faith and by prophecy, Lord. We do have. We've made up our decision that You, Lord, are in control. And we've made up our minds that our minds are open and our hearts are receptive to Your word. And we thank You, Lord, for what You have this morning in Jesus' name, and for the change and for the benefit of the kingdom of God in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If you want to turn to the scripture, be out of Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 11. It's not what you think. It's going to be different. And you just have to bear with me. There have been some things that have come up here recently that God began to deal with me about, began to talk to me about and share with me. And He seems to really be pounding in me the unity of the faith, the unity of the body of Christ. You know, this hand can't just go do what it wants by itself. It can't disconnect and decide, I want to go this way, if the body and the mind and the other hand wants to go do something else by direction of God. Not only that, it can't have its own opinion. It has to work for the purpose of the kingdom of God and for the benefit of the whole body. Now, we take that from the physical standpoint, we put it in the spiritual standpoint, and we're working for the body of Christ. We are parts of the body of Christ.
And as Scripture says, it says we're not an island to ourselves. Amen. The Scripture also says that we can't act independently. We can't say we don't have need of one another. And some of that has to do with what we're going to read here today and what we're going to see in this passage. We're going to read verses 11 all the way through 32. And I pray that it'll bring some insight to you as it has to me. I'm still getting a hold on it, but I want you to come along for the ride. Amen? Praise the Lord. And we want deeper understanding. Amen? Along with the wisdom, we want to get understanding. It's very important that the two go together. Amen? Praise the Lord. So let's start with verse 11. I'm reading out of the Amplified. I'm going to try to do this so that you don't get lost. I'm going to go very slow. I'm sorry. It's Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 32. Okay? Praise God. Now listen carefully. And his gifts were varied. He himself appointed and gave men to us, some to be apostles or special messengers, some to be prophets, inspired preachers, and expounders, some evangelists or preachers of the gospel, traveling missionaries, some pastors or shepherds of his flock, and then teachers. His intention was the perfecting and full equipping of the saints or his consecrated people. You know that you're his consecrated people, right? We are all consecrated to God, amen? We've made the decision. We've given our lives to him. We've made the decision. We're going to serve him, and we're going to do it for the kingdom of God, for the benefit of the kingdom of God, amen? And that they should do the work of ministering toward building up Christ's body or the church. The fivefold ministry was given for the building up and equipping of the saints, for the work of ministering, for the purpose of building up Christ's body or the church. They are synonymous. You can't separate them. They're one and the same. And the purpose for that is that it might develop until we all attain oneness in faith. Now, we all operate at different levels of faith, but it's the same faith. God's given the measure of faith. But I want to tell you this morning, just so you got the title down, the message and the thought that God gave me even last Wednesday night was, you weren't born into it, or you're not born into it, you grow into it. Now, let me preface that. We all know that when we're born again, things take place. There's something that's in us. But just like a baby when it's first born, that has to be developed over time. Amen? It doesn't just drop out of the blue and all of a sudden you got it. I mean, God just doesn't, as I have said many times in the past, just unscrew the bolts on your neck, tip your head over, dump the garbage out, pour the good stuff back in. It takes time. It takes growth. It takes wisdom. It takes fellowship. It takes working on your part. But it's not the works of righteousness, but the mercy of God that gets us to where we need to go. We do our part. He does his part. Amen? Praise the Lord. Verse 13 says that we might develop until we attain oneness in faith and in the comprehension of the full and accurate knowledge of the Son of God. I want you to really think about that for a minute. The purpose of all this, the fivefold ministry, and what he's saying here is for the accurate and full knowledge of God. Not based on our opinion or our feelings, but based on what he says in his word, which is unchangeable. And it doesn't operate by what we think or how we feel. It operates in the fact that it is truth. It's the only truth, and that's where we need to leave it. Okay? Now, we all come at a different level. He ministers to us at a different level. But the point is, there is only one truth. There's only one life and only one way. And our opinions, while we all have them, are really have no bearing on the Word of God or the unity of the faith. Okay? If God says it, we need to believe it. And we need to walk in it as to the best of our ability. Now let's face it, when the seed is sown by the Word of God, which is the seed is the Word, it's going to grow in us different times, different ways. Some things are going to go into each one of you and maybe bring an immediate change or immediate fruit in your life. You're going to have immediate growth. Other things may take some time, and vice versa with each one of us. But the key here is, like the Scripture says, and how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Unity of what? Every one of us has opinions. As Stan would say, we all have opinions in armpits, and unfortunately, to other folks, they might be smelly. there's no condemnation there, or no conviction there. What you need to understand, though, is that the only opinion that really matters, and the only opinion that's going to stand, is not yours and my opinion, unless it's the opinion based right here in the Word. Amen? So the whole purpose and the intention of the perfecting of the saints by the ministry and ministry gifts is to perfect people, and so that there might be a development until all attain oneness in the faith and in the comprehension, one in the faith and comprehension, of the full and accurate knowledge of the Son of God, that we might arrive at really mature manhood, or the completeness of personality, which is nothing less than the standard height of Christ's own perfection. That's the measuring stick, Christ's own perfection. And that's what we're striving for, to be in His image and likeness, to arrive at that place where we are a mirror image of Him. Amen? It's a lifetime process. The measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ and the completeness found in Him, or found only in Him. There's no other completeness. No other knowledge, no other way, but the Word of God and His way, and the wisdom that He has in this book. Now, we gain knowledge and we gain understanding and gain insight from this, but the only thing that really matters when it comes down to it, the only thing that's going to get men saved, the only thing that's going to change our lives is this Word. Not the workings of what's going on, or how God's doing what He's doing, or in what ways, but the fact that this is what brought a change in your life. Amen? This is what lets you know that you and I needed Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Verse 14. So then, we may no longer be children, tossed like ships, to and fro between chance gusts of teaching and wavering with every changing wind of doctrine, the prey of, in other words, becoming the prey of, and what is meant to be prey, or us to be the prey, of cunning and cleverness of unscrupulous men. The caption here is, gamblers engaged in every shifting form of trickery, in inventing errors to mislead. Verse 15. Rather, let our lives lovingly express truth in all things, speaking truly, dealing truly, living truly. And the way we do that is enfolded in the love, or in love, and then we grow up in every way and in all things into Him who is the head, even Christ the Messiah, the Anointed One. Amen? So when we follow the Word of God, and we understand that when God sets people in places, whether an apostle, evangelist, pastor, or teacher, again, they're not bigger or better or on an elevated plane than you, but God has called them for one purpose and holds them accountable, that they teach the truth so that we can be built up in faith, so that we can go in turn and do the work of the ministering to the people, and so that the body of Christ will be perfected. Amen? That's you and me. Say, that's you and me. Amen. Hallelujah. For because of Him, listen carefully, the whole body, or the church in all its various parts, closely joined and firmly knit by the joints and the ligaments which it is supplied, when each part, with power, adapted to its need, in other words, the need of the body, not individual need, but the need of the body, although God meets our needs, amen? Isn't that right? When each part, with power, adapted to its need, the body's need, is working properly in all its functions, listen, grows to the full maturity, building itself up in love. Now, if you think about that for a minute, if you can get the picture, there is no individual action or purpose or self-desire here. It's solely for everything to function and God's body to function the way it's designed to function. And that is for the kingdom of God, the benefit of the kingdom of God. Amen? So that we can be those parts who are actively working for the head, who is Christ. Amen. The head of our body, of which we are all members. Amen. Hallelujah. So this I say and solemnly testify in the name of the Lord, as He is present, as in His presence, that you must no longer live as heathen or the Gentiles do in their perverseness, the folly, vanity, and emptiness of their souls, and the futility of their minds. There's a way that seems right, but the end thereof are the ways of what? Death and destruction. It starts out with just plain destruction, and it starts out with spiritual death, and then leads into physical death, or ultimate separation from God, which is what death really is. Real death is separation from God. Do y'all agree? That's a fate worse than death. Verse 18, the moral understanding is darkened, and their reasoning is beclouded. They are alienated or estranged or self-banished from the life of God with no share in it. This is because of ignorance or the want of knowledge and perception, the willful blindness that is deep-seated into them due to their hardness of heart, to the intensiveness of their moral nature. Verse 19, in their spiritual apathy, everybody knows what apathy is, have become callous and past feeling and reckless, and have abandoned themselves as prey to unbridled sensuality, eager and greedy to indulge in every form of impurity, that their depravity or that their depraved desires may suggest and demand. Now, you may have a picture by what was just read, but there's a different picture that we need to look at. When we as individuals take a stand in an area and give place to things other than the Word, and by that I mean where we get dogmatic, okay? Dogmatic in what we feel and what we say, or dogmatic in our position, or dogmatic in the fact that, well, I have rights. I read in Galatians that I was crucified with Christ. So it's not me that lives any longer, but it's Christ who lives in me. And that is the hope of glory. Amen? So, one of the things that we know, is nothing new, but it's very profound, and that is that for Him to increase, we must decrease. Or for Him to have reign, we got to die. And that dying means dying to everything that is selfish, self-motivated, self-inflicted. Go beyond ourselves and always consider that our purpose here and the reason we come to church, and that means the person who stands here too, is for the benefit of the brothers and sisters in Christ, which are part of the body of Christ, the church. Amen? That's what it's all about. Other things, while they're okay, they're not sin. It's said in the book, I believe Peter was the one who said it, that I'm convinced, I've learned that there's nothing, and I don't think there's anything evil under the sun. It's not the thing that's evil, it's how it's used, the intention behind it, and the attitude of the heart is what makes it evil. And those kind of attitudes are usually motivated by the things of darkness or the things of sin or our father, or the father who was our father, the devil. Can we all agree on that? Praise the Lord. I'm reminded of a scripture that talks about that we're not to know anything, or that I'm determined not to know anything except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It's great to talk about the works of God and the things God's doing, but the Word of God is what really, really brings the change. It's that Word that is the seed that's planted in that causes the growth in our lives, causes the fruit to come. Again, it can be immediate or it can be in the future. Usually it's not the far distant future. Amen? May suggest and demand is the last part of 19. Verse 20. But you did not so learn in Christ. Too many times we get in a position where we want to defend our position when we should be. And you understand what I'm saying when I say this. We don't have to defend the Word of God. But you defend who you love. You defend what you believe. You defend what's important to you. That's why we go to war. Amen? That's why we fought the First World War. That's why we fought the Second World War. and successive wars since then. Now, they may have been foolish, there may have been no purpose, but the point is, it was because we believed in something, and that's what we fight for. And we know the truth that we fight for, the only truth, is the Word of God, His purpose, His plan, and for the kingdom's benefit. Verse 21, assuming that you have really heard Him and been taught by Him as all truth, all is in parentheses in the Amplified Bible, all truth, capital T, is in Jesus. He is truth, embodied and personified in Him. Here's an admonition in verse 22. Strip yourselves of your former nature, put off and discard your own unrenewed self, which characterized your previous manner of life, and becomes corrupt through the lusts and desires that spring forth from delusion. There's a way that seems right. From delusion. And be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. Salvation is new every day. So it stands to reason as we read this that we understand that we need to be constantly renewed, and we are constantly renewed. Why? By the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. While we grow from the things of yesterday, God has so much more today. Amen. We press on towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. We press on towards the glory of God. Amen. And to the final end of our race. And you know what? In a regular race, there's a winner and then those who come in second place. But in God, that's not the case. We're all winners because we've pursued the race, we ran it to the best of our ability, and even though we may not come in what this world calls first place, we finished our course, so we have won the race. Are you with me? Verse 24. And put on the new nature. It's like a garment. You make a decision every day to put on the new garment or the regenerated self created in God's image or Godlike in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, rejecting all falsity and being done with it, done now with it. You hear that? Rejecting all falsity and being done now with it. Remember, Bob brought out earlier, now is now. Not past, not future, but now. Let everyone express the truth with his neighbor, for we are all parts of one body and members of one another. When angry, do not sin. Do not ever let your wrath, your exasperation, your fury, your indignation. Let me go over that again. It says, when you're angry, do not sin. Usually sin comes in when we let our exasperation, our fury, and our indignation overrun us. It's not the Spirit of God that's in control anymore. It's the flesh, or what we like to call in religious circles, or if you will in Christianese, the Adamic nature. The Adamic nature was what? The fallen man. Don't let it last until the sun goes down. In other words, make it right. Don't allow that to control you. Leave no such room or foothold for the devil, or give no opportunity to him. Verse 28. Let the thief steal no more, but rather let him be industrious, making an honest living with his own hands, so that he may be able to give to those in need. Now, for those of you who are wondering where that scripture is, it's right there. We don't get a job so we can live. We get a job so we can give. Amen? Because God supplies our needs, right? Well, I tell you what. We have had that so screwed up in the church for so long. I'm telling you, that's almost become a stronghold, if not a stronghold in our lives. And we misinterpret or we take out of context the Word of God. It says, if you don't work, you don't eat. That work is not what you think. That work is working for the kingdom of God. And He takes care of us in that. Amen? That's the work. Hallelujah. Are you all with me? You're not throwing things at me, so I know I must be okay. Let the thief steal no more, but rather let him be industrious, making an honest living with his own hands, so that he may be able to give to those in need. Let no foul or polluting language, nor evil word, nor unwholesome or worthless talk ever come out of your mouth, but only such speech as is good and beneficial to the spiritual progress of others, as is fitting to the need and the occasion, that it may be a blessing and give grace or God's favor to those who hear it. Did y'all get that? Praise the Lord. Pretty clear. And verse 30 says, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Do not offend or vex or sadden Him, by whom you were sealed or marked." You were sealed. You know what that means? It means you were marked and branded as God's own, and you were secured by Him. For what purpose? For the redemption or the final deliverance through Christ from evil and the consequences of sin. That's what it's all about. So that we can be delivered from evil and the consequences of sin. That's the final outcome of this. That's the final outcome of this. The Bible says Scripture is not of any private interpretation. It's the Holy Spirit who leads and guides into truth. It's the Holy Spirit in agreement with the Word, or the Spirit of God in agreement with the Word of God, that brings peace into your life. Anything else is going to bring an uneasiness. It's the same thing as when Jesus came down off the mount after 40 days and was tempted by the devil. Yes, the Word was there. Yes, it sounded like God. It sounded like God's Word, but it was not, because there was temptation and there was an agenda in it that Jesus recognized, because He knew more than just what was being said. He had the experience and the knowledge that came from God. That only comes from being in His presence and being able to hear the voice of God and not voices of strangers. There's a lot of people out there who have a lot of good things to say, but what is the importance in the kingdom? Of what benefit is it to somebody who doesn't believe or who doesn't know the Lord? It can be used as a tool, but it's not the truth. Are you with me? I didn't say it was evil or sin to be involved in those things as far as reading and getting some understanding. If it builds your faith, then it's good. But if it's anything else, it's not to be preached like the gospel of Christ, because only the gospel of Christ is going to set men free. Isn't that right? You can't get to the Father through anything else but the Word of God and through Jesus, who is the only way, the only truth, the only life. Amen? Hallelujah. Verse 31. "Let all bitterness and indignation and wrath," or if you can understand it more clearly, "passion, rage, and bad temper, and resentment," or anger and animosity, "and quarreling." Quarreling literally means brawling, clamor, contention. "And slander," that's evil speaking or abusive or blasphemous language, "be vanquished from you with all malice." That malice means spite, ill will, or baseness of any kind. Now, if you're not taking notes, I suggest you get this message and listen to it again and study Ephesians chapter 4, 11 through 32. And see what the Holy Spirit shows you. In verse 32, "And in so doing, you become useful and helpful and kind to one another. You become tender-hearted or compassionate and understanding and loving-hearted. And then, forgiving one another readily and freely as God in Christ forgave you." As God in Christ forgave you. Let me read it again. "In adhering to the wall of the Scriptures previous to verse 32, when you do that, you become useful and helpful and kind to one another." Remember, first of all, we have an obligation to the household of faith. And then, that when we get that down and get that right, then we can go out and we can minister truthfully, fully and effectively to the world out there. If there's dissension and discord in the ranks, or we've got issues with one another, I don't care what they are, we need to get rid of them right now. I mean, it's so clear in the Scripture in Mark 11. You got to forgive. You got to release. And that's not the issue that I want to focus on here. But the point is, in so doing, then you open yourself up to be able to be, first of all, forgiven, and second of all, to see the mountains in your life disappear. Now, I don't know about y'all, but if I have something that's bugging me about somebody, it's not because I want them destroyed. It's because I've probably 90% of the time, if not more like 99% of the time, is because of misunderstanding or something stupid in my thinking. Hello? So I need to deal with that. Because I can't be effective in the kingdom if I've got that hanging on to me. And the word's not effective in my life. Like it could be, and it should be. That doesn't mean God's not working. But it means I've got an obstacle that I need to deal with right then and there in order to go on. In other words, I'm on my journey and all of a sudden there's a rock slide in front of me. I've got to do everything I can to make sure that rock or that boulder, it gets out of the way. And you know how simple that is? Father, I'm sorry. Forgive me. And Lord, I release any animosity or whatever it is that's keeping you from your journey. I release it to you, Lord. I release them. I release the situation. Thank you, Lord, that I'm free. Amen. And it's when we do that is when we become useful and helpful and kind to one another. I mean, every one of us look at what's going on in the world and may know people that we just kind of shake our head and say, "Dear God." My mama would say they haven't got the brains they were born with. Well, that's not up to you and me. What's up to you and me is to be that light that shines, that effective witness that shows them that there's no condemnation in Christ. The guilt that Bob was talking about. So you remember the guilt that comes from the world and from the father of lies, the father of this world, sticks with you forever unless you get renewed, unless you die and become born again spiritually. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Remember, the Scripture says that those sins that you retain are retained. Those sins that you forgive are forgiven. Those things, those bondages that you loose are loosed. Both in heaven and in earth. You have to understand that's a two-edged sword on both of those parts. If you've got something that's eating you, bothering you, or something that you just shake your head and say, "Dear God, I just don't understand this," and it's towards another person, saved or unsaved, that's a stumbling block to you. You're holding that person's sins against them, or their disobedience, or the fact that they made you uncomfortable. It might not even be a sin. It might be, "Well, I didn't like that." You get your nose in the air, get your back against the wall. Oh, that's not humility, folks. That's not love. That's not love. It seems to me I read someplace we're supposed to walk in love. That's a decision. That's a decision. Can I tell you something? I said this before, I'm going to say it again. We here are not the enemy. The enemy is out there. It's called ungodliness. It's called sin and disobedience. Called lust. It's every violation that goes against Exodus 20, where it tells us about the Ten Commandments. That's the enemy out there. The enemy is the enemy of your soul, the one who wants to steal the Word of God. We're not enemies in here. We're part of the body of Christ. For us to sit and hold something against one another, or that, you know, well, you know, I don't like what he said. Or to think that because a preacher stands up and preaches from the pulpit, he's pointing a finger, making accusations against you. No. There are some who do that. We all know about that. I've been involved with those. I've seen those. I've been around those. I'm not there anymore. The people who stand here, if they're really right with God and their attitude is right, they're for your equipping, for your being perfected so that you can go out and do the same in the world. If you have an abrasion or a wound on your body, and the body doesn't do what it needs to do by sending the internal things to combat or fight the infection and garbage, you know, then that infection begins to take control. And that appendage or whatever it is begins to be in such dire straits that you may lose that appendage. Right? That's not what it's about. It's about rallying around one another, standing with one another, and realizing who the enemy really is, the enemy of our soul. It can be things, it can be voices, it can be anything. If you ever find somebody who never says or does anything that might send you over the edge or get you upset, please, would you bring them here and let me meet them, please? I mean, I want what they got. But for right now, the only way I know to get that is by doing and adhering to and being obedient to this Word of God, which is my illustration, or if you will, my SOP. For those of you in the military, that's, you know what that is. standard operating procedures. Amen? Or law enforcement camp. Standard operating procedure. You see, if you stop and think about it, what you're doing when you do that is you're emulating, you're in the image of Christ. Right? See, what comes out of you shows what's inside you. Things may not have been dealt with, or that you haven't let go of. We all have some of those things. That's why we cry out. That's why David cried out, "Create in me clean hands and a pure heart. Search me, O God, and know my thoughts, and try me and know my ways. And if there's wickedness or ungodliness there, show me. I repent. I want it gone." And what that does is that administers the healing incorporated with the body rallying around for that wound, but it, you doing what you need to do for that wound to bring about the healing and perfecting that wound. And after a while, how many know? No trace. No trace. Amen? Sometimes we want to throw the baby out with the bathwater, or we want to kill the messenger. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, because I know everybody would raise their hand. We've all been there. We've all done that. We get mad when conviction comes in. See, we don't even have a clear understanding sometimes, especially when we've got so much of us inside that when the Word of God comes, it's not pointing a finger and bringing you to a place of guilt. It's bringing you a place of conviction, which means that God's trying to deal with you and clean you up and deal with the things that are holding you back. Amen? So it's not something adverse, something to embarrass you, or, well, you're just so substandard. No. Remember, the judgment starts in the house of God. Judgment starts right here. And there, you need to have the right judgment based on the Word of God. And the judgment of God is not that you're a nasty old sinner saved by grace. That was the case. But now you're saved, redeemed, Spirit-filled, born again, set free from all that corruption. It's corruption, folks. It's corruption. Praise God. Now you're useful and helpful, and have become kind to one another. That tender-heartedness or compassionate understanding, loving-hearted, comes through. Being loving-hearted comes through and ministers and doesn't repel but attracts those around you in the household of faith and those out there who need a word from God for deliverance and healing and salvation. Amen? Forgiving one another, in other words, releasing one another readily and freely as God in Christ, through Christ, forgave you and I. Amen? Hallelujah. I can't remember the scripture right offhand, but it says, "Where do wars and contentions and strife," and I'm paraphrasing, come from? They come from selfish, ungodly things that are still attached to our life. That's where they come from. The Bible says, "Let the word of God be first peaceable and then pure." You know what I'm saying? You know the scripture I'm talking about. Amen? Peaceable and pure. Not defiled. Our only motivation needs to be the kingdom of God and what's right for the kingdom of God. Amen? Which we're a part of, and which we, with all our desire and heart, want people to come in and be a part of. Amen? That's what God wants. Whether they do or not, we have an obligation. It's not us who has a right to say, "Wait a minute, it's too late," or "give up on that one." It's to do what God says. The final judgment's when they draw their last breath, and that's not up to you and me, that's up to Him. Amen? That's up to Him. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. With every fiber of my being, with my heart, my soul, my mind, and my strength, I want to serve Him. I'm hungry for Him. I'm hungry for His Word. I want to be in His image and likeness. And I don't want anything, my thoughts, my opinions, my way of life, or my attitudes, which is part of thoughts and opinions, get in the way of being able to shine and for people to see Jesus and not me. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Did this minister to anybody? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We need to understand that God has a way of doing things, and the only thing that's going to cause us to be able to prosper and grow and become freedom for us is if we get in that same frame of mind. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. If there's anyone here who needs prayer for anything, or if there's something in this message that's touched you and made you feel like you need to come, please come. The elders, pastors want to pray with you and for you. No condemnation, no embarrassment. I want to be right with God. That's my motivation. Now, in a way, that's greatly selfish, but that's also very, very unselfish for the kingdom of God. Because unless I'm right, I can't really be to the kingdom and to the Father what I need to be. Amen. Amen. Lord, well, we thank you that that's the case, Lord, that you're the one who's flying that plane, not the pilot. You're the one who's actually sitting in that seat, guiding the hands and the thoughts, and making it the safest plane in the air because you're on board, Lord, and because a loved one of one of your saints is on that plane. We thank you for safety. We thank you for a good word and a good report. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. We agree with that. We agree with that. Praise the Lord. Anything else? If that's the case and all hearts are clear, then thank you, Father, for your people, Lord. Now, Lord, may your grace and mercy, your unchanging grace and mercy, and your love and your peace be on your people as they go. Bless them this week, Lord. May your grace and the knowledge of your grace and grow and expound and expand in their lives. For this I praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.